A Phubs Media production.
So, Jen, tell us about an interesting experience you've had in teaching leadership.
So I've had countless interesting experiences. I think anytime you're teaching leadership, it's also a lesson in humility and a lesson in knowing that you know just a piece of what the world has to offer. And the day I learned that was in China. I had just taken my first international assignment. I was tasked with helping leaders in China who worked for an American business learn new leadership techniques. So with my very American brain and the way I saw the world, because again, I'd never worked internationally before, mm-hmm. I went in with the same head I would have gone in with anyone here in the United States. And so through this training, I was talking about being number one, always being the best, because here in the U.S., those are terms that we use and things that at times we value. And on the very first break, the operations manager came up to me and said, in the Chinese culture, we aren't really comfortable being number one or the best, because when you go into war, the best person leads the troops and is typically the first one killed. And I was like, oh, okay. And I'm in the middle of my agenda. I have to very quickly think about, I don't know, be the best number two. I was like, I don't know.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Well, I can't wait to talk about leadership in more detail, more of these stories. Let's get started. Hey, 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 I'm Katie, and this is She Makes, a podcast dedicated to female creative entrepreneurs. I'm so excited to go through this podcast with you to share maker stories, talk about educational tidbits, and explore some hot topics for women in business. Let's get to it. Hey, hey, Maker Nation, this is Katie. I'm here with Taylor.
Hi.
And Jen. Hey, Jen.
Hello. Thanks for having me today.
Thanks so much for coming on. So you are a leadership coach and expert. You work with 304 Coaching. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of how you got into this program you created?
So I grew up in the retail industry. I won't tell my age, but I will definitely date myself. As a young girl, all I ever wanted to do was work in the mall because that seemed like a cool idea. And yep. Dreams do come true. And I got to work in the mall at a very young age. But what I didn't know then that I know now is that at a young age, I was responsible for managing multi-million dollar businesses. I was responsible for hiring and scheduling and staffing and employee relationship building, customer service, P&L reports. And so from a very early age, I had the experience to lead, and it taught me a lot. You know, some days were really great and some days were full of just learnings, and I, you know, stepped on everything I could find. And so over time, my career progressed. I spent half my time in operations and organizations, and then second half of my career, I moved into HR. And so I'm not a classically trained HR person. I am a operator who understands that the only way to deliver your business results is by managing your talent. And after many years in the corporate environment, I woke up one day and said, you know what? I'd like to try this out on my own. I want to make my own path in this this journey. And so I started 304. We are a coaching, education, and consulting business. And it's been a fantastic ride since there.
That's amazing. So you've obviously had a lot of leadership experience in the past. You said HR was a role for you. What else have you done in leading teams over the last many years?
So I've led all types of teams, a lot in person, which, you know, is something that people are struggling with today. Do we lead in person or do we lead virtually? Because right. I was in operations and at a district and regional level many years of my career, I actually led virtually before we had all this lovely technology to help us do that. So I've led, you know, teams of hundreds of people across, you know, geographical areas. I've had the opportunity to lead cross-functional teams, special project teams, which I think is always some of the most interesting. Everyone's excited and wants to do a special project, but they're hard and they're typically on top of your normal day. And so how do you help people think about time management and stress and all of those things, having to lead those types? Many years ago, I accepted a special assignment in Hong Kong, and that started my international experience. And so I've gotten to lead teams across Hong Kong, China, Europe, and Mexico. So not only different types of teams, but all different languages and continents.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know about you, Taylor, but I feel really lucky to be talking to Jen today.
Oh my gosh, me too.
Your experience is amazing. And obviously, you know, I'm a leader in my job at the shop at Mosaic and leading this podcast. And Taylor's a leader in many ways as well. And so we're just really lucky to be here and talk to you. So obviously, we're all leaders, whether it's, you know, in business, at home, with friends, family. What are the best qualities you think leaders hold and why?
That's such a great question and never an easy one to answer, because I think that right? Wouldn't it be great if there was just like a recipe that always worked, like chocolate chip cookies? It always works if you use these things.
Right.
But with leadership, I think one of the things you have to really be open to is flexibility. Because if you're a leader in your home, a leader at in your community, a leader at work, you have to understand how to flex the needs of that organization at that time. And I think a lot of leaders think that, oh, if I act this way every day, then that's good. I'm consistent. And I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth at the same time and say you have to be flexible, but consistency is one of the best gifts you can give a team, because they know what to expect whether you're there or not. And so mm-hmm. it's about having a consistent foundation about who you are and what you stand for, but then being able to flex into any given situation or any different type of group of person you're working with. And the ability to have a consistent foundation and flexibility at the same time is really the foundation and key to creating successful leadership teams.
I love that. I think that's great. We'll be right back, and I want to dive into more about cultivating a culture as a leader.
This podcast is brought to you by Mosaic Makers Collective. Mosaic Makers Co. is an all-female, all-Texan retail collective located in the Bishop Arts District of Dallas, Texas. Here, we work to sell handmade wares, build community, educate makers, and prepare them for future retail opportunities. Shop Mosaic in-store and online at www.mosaicmakers.co to find handmade goods for every occasion, support women, and shop small, all at once.
All right, we are back. I'm here with Taylor and Jen. We were just talking about leadership and kind of defining what a good leader is, but I want to talk more about creating a culture as a leader. I know that's something you've done a lot of work in, Jen. I know it's something I work really hard at in the shop, in my leadership, you know, capabilities, creating a positive culture, one that motivates people. Why is that so important, do you think, to create such a positive and motivational workplace?
Every organization has a culture, whether they like it or not. Everyone gets one. That's just, you know, put a group of people together, and how we work creates a culture. I think it's important to create a unique culture for any business, because that's your competitive advantage. It also allows you to find the type of people who will excel in your environment. And so if you don't know what your culture is or do not keep a consistent culture, you typically will burn through hires, because you might hire someone with the right skills, but the way they want to work doesn't match your culture. So they're not successful. And that's, you know, on the employer understanding their culture. And so, you know, creating a culture that's not just on a piece of paper, but how we actually act towards each other. Because too often something beautiful is written on a piece of paper, and our actual culture, the one we live by, is something mm-hmm. completely different. And that's the hardest part, is living by what you put on a piece of paper. But that's really the core of why it's important to have a strong culture. It's because it tells people, here's how we do the work, here's how we treat each other, and here's how we're going to interact every single day, over and over again. And that creates confidence in your team. It creates consistency. And the other unique thing it does is our brains are predictive machines. So they're always predicting what's going to happen, because it wants to keep us safe. And so if you have an inconsistent culture, your employee's brain is going to be like, I don't know what today's about. Like, I don't know what to expect. You know, every day's a new day around here. And it creates so much distraction and noise from doing great work.
So what are some elements that make up a positive culture?
So I think that it's hard to define positive culture, because that could look different for different people. You could have four very strong organizations with positive cultures, but one person's going to like one more than the other three. And so it's about thinking, how do I create an environment where I reduce fear? Anytime we can create an environment with reduction of fear, employees start to build safety, they start to build confidence, and they actually perform better because they're not afraid of getting in trouble every day. And so at the root of any type of positive culture, however that is defined for that company, if they can find a way to reduce fear in the workplace, they will ultimately perform at a higher level and get better production out of all of their employees.
Yes, so true. I love the concept of safety and trust in the workplace. You know, I've worked jobs, as I'm sure you have and Taylor has, where I don't feel safe. I don't feel trusted. I feel like one small mistake is going to cost me my job. And that is such a hard environment to be a part of.
Yeah. So what are things you can do to reduce that fear of your employees?
I get calls all the time from like CEOs or high-level executives, and they say to me, no one on my team knows how to make a decision. If I'm not here, no one does anything. And my favorite thing to always say is, what about your language made that true? Because at the end of the day, we teach people how to work with us. So if you want to create an environment where there is a reduction of fear, that people can make decisions, people can try new things and not be in fear of it, then you have to change your language. So say someone goes out on a limb and makes a decision, it doesn't go well. The conversation is, well, you now we know what doesn't work. What do you want to try next that you think will work? Or from this decision, what did you learn and how will that impact how you think about things in the future? And take it from more of a discovery and growth aspect versus you're in trouble and you're worthless because you made one bad decision in your entire lifetime. And that type of mentality is really tough on employees. A lot of employers think every single person who works on their staff should be like a straight A adult. And, you know, I was not a straight A student, and I'm certainly not a straight A adult. And we have to allow people to learn and to get better, and get them excited about taking risk and making their own decisions. And our language will either create that or it will stop it from happening.
Oh, yeah. Definitely agree with that. Like, we're all adults. We need to be allowed to express ourselves
and be imperfect, right?
Yes.
Totally. All right. Well, we'll be right back. She Makes is brought to you by Canva, an online tool and creative software that allows you to create gorgeous brand forward graphics. Canva is the perfect place to create social media posts, videos, products catalogs, website headers, and more. And Canva Pro offers even more with a photo background remover, print quality downloads, and amazing tools to refine your design. Click the link in our show notes to get started with Canva, one of our favorites here at She Makes. All right. This is Katie with She Makes a Podcast. I'm back with Jen and Taylor. We're talking about leadership today and being a leader in business and in other ways. So Jen, a lot of our listeners are solopreneurs right now. They don't necessarily have a staff yet, but they are starting to think about hiring. So I'd love to focus a little bit on the concept of hiring and how to find those people. So to start, like, what advice do you have for someone who's looking to hire? Where do they begin?
So it can be daunting to think about hiring people or trusting people with your business. Believe me, I was there one day too, my first day out and the first hire I had to make. I would really encourage your listeners to not think about hiring a staff in a traditional way that we've always hired. Because in today's world, that's really tough. You know, I have seven people besides myself on this team. No one works full-time for me. Everyone works part-time because they are experts in what they do. And so they may have several clients, or they may have a full-time job and work for me on nights and weekends. But what that allows for is every single person who comes to the table with me is an expert and has a ton of passion about what they do. I didn't go and hire two full-time people and expect them to have the mindset of four people each. And when you do that, when you hire one person to do four completely different jobs, chances are they're only good at one piece of that job mm-hmm. and they're failing in the other three, which who wants to get out of bed and not do a good job? Who wants to get in trouble for not doing a good job? And so especially for solo entrepreneurs, be really flexible about how you think about hiring. Don't feel like you have to hire one person who can do it all. Be very open to creativity when it comes to hiring and how you work with people.
Definitely. And I think, you know, it's like hiring based on their strengths. And then also once you hire, you learn more about them. I've watched my staff grow, and I can have five women in the same role as sales associate, and they all do the job completely differently, but they all have strengths that make them so good at what they do. And understanding each individual's strength and how they work together is such a huge component as well, right?
It is. And, you know, earlier you talked a little bit about, you know, embracing those imperfections. And that's such a great way of saying, you know, here are the guidelines, but be you inside those guidelines. And what that allowed was five people who all do the job very, very well, but they do it their way, which makes them better at it because they're not faking it, makes them enjoy it. And they're more authentic to every person who walks into the shop.
Definitely. I think we've all had those micromanagers in the past as leaders who tend to oversee every little thing we do and we can't catch a break. And, you know, I work really hard not to be that way in my leadership abilities because I've been micromanaged and I know how hard that can be. And I think just like you said, if we're letting them do what they're passionate about in the way they want to do it, it's going to come across in a much more skilled and professional way than if we're just forcing something upon someone.
Right. So like, are there some things our listeners can like put in place before they start hiring? Because you talked a lot about building that foundation and having that culture, the culture you want to make apparent for your employees. What should our women entrepreneurs out there be focusing on, like onboarding wise? Is there something we could give those new employees?
Absolutely. When you think about hiring someone, the first thing you want to do is get really clear on what they're going to do and give them find people to do work that they love that is different than you. So if like I can handle, you know, graphic design, I'm not that good at it. What takes me an hour to kind of halfway make look good, my graphic designer on my team could, you know, in 5 minutes make it look spectacular. And so I've totally let go of graphic design. And so, you know, we do a ton of training programs here. So when I go out and I create content, all I do is create the content. I don't spend a minute thinking about what it's going to look like because I hired an expert to do that thinking for me. And so then I can become much more creative and spend my energy creating the content because I'm not looking at this going, well, should it be this color? Should it look like that? Or how am I going to, I don't even cross my mind because I have someone to do that. Right. So really think about what you're not great at. And then start to think about what actually are those tasks, because that allows you to hire the right person. But then onboarding becomes much simpler and easier because you have clear communication. These are the things that I need you to do. Here's what that looks like. Here's how we're going to work together. And that type of pre-work before you hire an onboard will create a more successful relationship.
Nice. Definitely. All right. We'll be right back with more. And we're back with She Makes a Podcast. So Jen, we were just talking about hiring and you made a great point about, you know, hiring people for their strengths and finding things to delegate that you're not good at yourself. I think a mental block that a lot of solopreneurs have when they're looking to hire is that they don't have the funds. But one thing I want to stress that I think you would agree with is that you're saving yourself money by saving yourself this time. Like you used the example of graphic design and the fact that it would take a graphic designer 5 minutes, but it would take you a lot of stress and time to get it done. So what advice do you have for those who say like, oh, I can't afford it yet? Like where do you go from there?
So you know, there, it is a skill, right? So when you hire one person, you're going to get a little bit of momentum, and that will create the momentum for the second and the third and the fourth. But as long as you're waking up every day and doing things you don't like to do or you are not good at, your business is never, ever going to take off. It just isn't. You cannot be miserable and be a great entrepreneur. You have to be doing what gets you excited, because that's why you started a business. But there's all these other horrible things we have to do, like, you know, QuickBooks and this and that. Like, I mean, there's like a whole list of stuff. And I'm like, this is what my job is? I cannot even. And, you know, I know that when I started hiring people and started bringing people into my business, every single time I've made that decision, I've seen my business go up. Now, yes. To make that happen, you have to do the good work. You have to decide what work they're going to do. You have to know what that's going to look like. You have to ask around and find the right person. Don't trust the first person you meet. Think about how to interview people and how to give them a project to test them out, to see if the working relationship is good. But every entrepreneur I know, once they start to invest in a team, they start to see the returns. I've never met anyone who said, you know, I hired someone and nothing happened. And if they say that, there's typically a reason why. It's like they didn't do the work that they needed to do. It's typically not because all the work was done and then the business just didn't show up.
Mm-hmm. Right. I 1,000,000% agree. You know, I think when I opened Mosaic, I was running it on my own, and I was every department, and I was there 24/7 while the shop was open, and it was impossible to do it all. I mean, and now that I have a team behind me, the growth has been exponential, and I could not have done it without their skills. You know, these women are challenging me to think about things in a different way than I normally would, or make decisions I wouldn't always make because I haven't thought about it from someone else's perspective. And having that knowledge around me is so huge in growing my business as well.
I love that you give an opportunity for them to give you feedback, because that's a skill that not all leaders take on. And when we take the time to hear from others who are working with us, then that's amazing. And that's when you can really grow. And I know I get feedback from my team all of the time, and they're like, well, we could do this or that. And sometimes I'll agree and sometimes I won't. But when I don't agree, I don't say, I don't agree, that's a bad decision, why would you think about that? I say, I don't see it, but change my mind. I don't understand that viewpoint, but I am open to learning. Because then this becomes an amazing opportunity to collaborate and for me to learn something and not just say no and shut it down.
So let's talk about resources. Is there like a book or a podcast that stands out to you as a great resource for leaders?
So there's a couple that come to mind. My first leadership book I ever read, and everyone here on 304, we're all obsessed with it, and most people have never even heard of it. But it's called Success Principles, and it's by Jack Canfield. And if you get the book, it's like super big and overwhelming, but don't let that happen. It's every principle has like two or three pages with it, with stories and cartoons and that type of stuff. But the concepts in that book are just good life lessons. And especially if you're an entrepreneur, like one of the principles in the book is pay someone to do things you don't want to do, because it is holding you back and it's robbing someone else the opportunity of work they do love. And so there's all these great principles in there to live your life by. And we've got a ton of funny stories here at 304 around it. It's kind of our internal joke about how, because, you know, Jack Canfield's the author. And so something will happen and somebody be like, oh, Jack wouldn't like that. and so we use it to kind of keep each other in check too, because it's about living a big life, about, you know, taking chances, getting out there and putting yourself out there and doing the right thing. And so it's a great book for individuals and for teams.
I love that.
Jen, where can we find you online?
So you can find me at 304coaching.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn at Jen Thornton ACC. And I also have a YouTube channel.
Awesome. So great. Thank you so much for joining us today, Jen. We've had a great time talking to you. I feel like I've learned a lot as a leader. I think our listeners can take a lot away from this. So thank you for your wisdom today.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
This episode of She Makes is sponsored by Make, a planner for creatives. If you're a creative and entrepreneur wearing several hats to run your small business, then you need Make, a planner for creatives. It's a comprehensive, undated planner with weekly and monthly planning pages. The agenda makes it easy for any creative to set goals, track a social media agenda, dream bigger, and focus on projects. Make includes monthly and weekly planner pages, project trackers, social media marketing schedulers, and budgeting pages, coil bound with a gorgeous foil stamped cover. Buy it online at Amazon.com or make-aplanner.com and use coupon code SHEMAKES for 10% off your purchase. She Makes, a podcast, is a Phubs Media production brought to you by Mosaic Makers Collective. Shop local female-made goods every day at Mosaic. Find us online at mosaicmakers.co and shemakesapodcast.com. You can listen to us on Good Pods, Apple Podcasts, phubsmedia.com, or anywhere you get your favorite podcasts.
A Phubs Media production.